In this case, we didn't put all the horses on one thing. You can use this any way you want, particularly plain. But look at that in time. Relative to fiber growth, it's a plus horse in the final analysis, but a plus horse is a very, very slow total energy. Penfowl, he used wire-to-wire job as his Mimas Brooks, but the energy of Mimas Brooks to a wire-to-wire was higher and more apt to die than Mimas Brooks did die. Penfowl, he came in second. Five-year-old immediately went into a sprint after this to get back, get it out of being lazy. Look what it does. Look at the pattern run. That's 6.5 furlong. It doesn't win out of one. It's asking for more distance. Look where it's pointing at the end. Pointing up, isn't it? Anytime a horse running a short distance is going to stretch out, and his final demarcation line points up. Page 19 I'm talking about. You know that horse is begging for rub. That's not up to win. It exceeds the pace of the race to beat him considerably at that point. Look again on page 20. He's pointing up, looking for more distance. And he has no real deceleration slope whatsoever. He slopes slightly in the first fraction, which is ideal for a horse stretching out. His only downward slope is between the start and the first call. After the first call is a steady upward slope. Hey, that's a horse crying out for a longer distance. Are you following what I'm saying? I don't want to make any brilliant points without everybody conceding. When I drew these pictures, I ran over and bit the horse. Now, if I hadn't drawn the pictures, then just casually looked at the form, I might not have.
Maybe you want to make Del Mar, too.
Yeah.
Okay, and then he lost two fiber girls on a very narrow race the second time. He came in second, and he still paid a heck of a price to come in second. Nobody would still believe him. Fiber girl got back into form by running a sprint next time out. Got her up or up. There
is there's one more thing, Doc. This horse demonstrates a pattern of winning off a rest. She won two races in the past off a rest. Right off a rest each time.
I obviously didn't notice that she was coming off a rest.
Off of two rests. June 11th, and she's coming to 27th. If you look at her October 11th last race, she comes December 27th and pops. And then she comes back off February 26th to May 25th and pops. Tells you a little something about the trainer intention.
Barring all that subtle knowledge and intuition, look at his deceleration action. Are you getting with this now, James?
Yes, sir, I am.
You're not going to take a horse that's this far apart.
No, sir. Never again.
Okay, now, as to how to use this, there are several ways to use this chart. I've done it every possible way that I can think of. But when you ask the question, Dick will be forearmed and how to answer you. Whether you use the pace in the race, make up the pace, or whatever you do.
Okay.
This is his big moment.
This is my big moment. This is why I came here. Go ahead, any questions?
A lot of circles here.
There's a hell of a lot of circles, and they're all egg-shaped.
Yeah, and is it possible to eliminate the inside circle since the line doesn't touch it?
Okay.
And the inside circle from the...
Oh, I see how far it has two. The reason it has two is because that's what Howard found in the book someplace in Photoshop. Eventually, we will have this. If I can find an artist, a graphic artist of some sort, we will draw this up for them. I'll get it done, and then we'll write an article and a follow-up, and have it done right. As it is now, the fact that they're not used, you just sort of have to, it's doubled because that's what was in Howard's book.
So it's mirror lines that are not used?
I have no idea. You use just whatever you want to use. I guess it's the, it looks like he's using the inner lines and not the outer lines.
Maybe we get a plastic gadget like a Hurley wheel.
A Hurley wheel.
No, it was
a Sergeant Screwy wheel. Yes, sir. I think we all ought to have Hurley wheels. And the one who
yes.
I'll tell you what. The one who asks the best question today wins a prize.
I'll give you a couple.
A K2 calculator. Wow, they
are going a Timex computer.
And a Timex computer. Okay, the idea, this is, this chart has been around forever. Jim Bradshaw says that he learned a handicap on this chart. He learned a matchup on this chart. When he first got the methodology, he went out and had 1,000 of these done. And he filled them all up. Got room full of them. And if you've read Huey Moll's book, you'll see this kind of chart. Time after time after time. The weakness that I see in this chart, at least to my eye, I know intellectually it's not right, but my eye says the sustained horse always wins. Because it always looks, the sustained horse is going to have the flattest line. It always looks like that sustained horse passes the others. Using this chart, you've got nothing but sustained horses. And even in Huey Moll's book, he talks about that. This chart is something that Howard came up with trying to eliminate that, and there was one, yes, turn to page 20, and you'll see what I mean. Actually, this is a charting of bases of the face of the horse, and it's just these are the two horses. And take a look at exactly how it shows you these two horses are going to run. One is very early, and one is very sustained, or relatively sustained between the two, which is which?
You're on page 20?
Okay, which one do you think is relatively early?
The dotted line.
The dotted line.
Ace right. Or ace, right?
Absolutely. Well, as I say, it's this one happens to be, but call a horse A and horse B. Forget this is patient race. Call it a horse, because it's two different horses. It could be anything in the world. But this
four.
I did two horses named four and pole. Poor little me and Poe you. Yes, sir. They're racing together. Anyway, the top line, the dotted line, as you see, has a very nice advantage in the first and particularly the second fraction, and then flattens out a little bit. Whereas the solid line, it does not, is what, 3.25, 3.5 back. And then about 3 back, and then really makes it comes on very strong. Obviously, this horse won, or it finished very close. Comes on strong in the third fraction. Now, I can't tell you which horse is going to win this race because I don't know what track it's on. This isn't magic. It's not going to say here's the winner, beep beep beep. But Howard talked about yesterday. I don't know if you can go over that.
Are you talking about page 20?
Yeah.
There's only one horse there.
Yeah, I know it. I've explained that. Thank you for adding your confusion. Howard talked about what horses you should put into your computer. And yesterday, I didn't hear him go over today, but yesterday he was saying that you would always put in.
I'll do that later.
Your early pace horse. I'm going to do it right now.
Go ahead, do it right.
And you'd always put in your sustained pace horse. And then you put in the best of your crescents. In other words, when you get done charting this, there's going to be some horses that just sort of leap up off the page at you. And turn to page 24. And there's four horses that we've put in so far. Let's just assume these are the first four horses. Are the only four that have really good potential. Which two just leap right up off the page at you as being the two that you would put in?
Fast and French.
Sure. Now, I can't tell you, it depends, this was at, I think this is charting a race at Axarvin. Well, I don't know how Axarvin was running that day, but I would say those two horses, one of those two horses is going to have the advantage. And you would put, make sure that you would put these two into your computer. Now, no one expects you to handicap using this chart. It takes too long to fill it all out. This is a research tool. Jim Bradshaw made his thousand up. He didn't start taking it to the track with him and do it between races. This took hours and hours of spare time. And he would go back over races and choose different pace lines and take a look at things. And that's how we suggest that you use this tool. It would be very, very handy to use it in conjunction with the matchup program. And the matchup program is very much of a handicapping program, but it is a research tool. A lot of people use it at the handicap with, that's their business. But it really is a very brilliant research tool, and it's a tool that can allow you to sit down and sometimes when you have a spare hour, you take one race, and just take that race apart. Chart it on this kind of a chart. Or if you prefer the linear chart, use this one. This is what Howard originally developed. This is one that Huey Long developed for him. He is taking it a lot further. But this is, I just think it's a step in the right direction. I would use colored pens. Obviously, we can't photocopy color. So we had to use dots and X's and such like. Now, there's a couple different ways that you can use. 24, you can see that basically you're just filling in the first fraction times, the beaten lengths, second fraction times, actually, here, and then the third fraction. The third fraction is broken out. The second call is actually, you can make that either second fraction or second call. It's going to come out exactly the same. But you can see that French ran a 110 and 2. And if we can find French, there's French. Sure enough, French ran a 110 and 2 in the lead. And then tailed off rather dramatically. The outer circle is the third fraction. So, in this case, French ran a third fraction of about, took about 33 and 1. Now, if they're coming from different distances, you are going to have to translate.
We'll show you how to do that, Seth.
And we are going to show you how to do that, how to change everything from one distance. Tom Hamilton was here yesterday, and he talked about how he has found a great deal of success in translating all the horses into a single time, because he could then see exactly how they match up.
You mean a single distance?
A single distance, yeah. Okay, that's sort of the easy, raw way of looking at this. Now, how I've come up, you'll notice there's a little box up here that says code. I have to find one where you use the code to put them on. Okay, page 19. And basically what he's doing is looking at the realities of racing and saying that beach lengths are more important in certain parts of the races than they are in others. Obviously the final is kind of important, but what really determines how the horse is going to finish. Yeah. Round of applause here for this contestant.
Hi, guys.
Hey, your wife, make him go home now.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming. See you next week. See you in Las Vegas. See you whenever. The reality of racing is that these lengths are more important in certain parts of the races than they are in others. And so, what he's doing is he's using a code, and it's right up there in that little box. When the first fraction of beaten length is worth one, and in this case, since he's a market fifth, one increment, one fifth. And between the first and second fraction, a beaten length is worth three increments, three fifths. And in the third, between the second fraction and the finish, it's worth two. And so a horse that runs 45 feet and three we multiply, you take nine fish off? Yeah, something an awful lot.
Or just 9 units?
Or 9 units. We would take it off. Okay.
All right.
All right.
The units as opposed to fish, right?
That code is absolutely decision based on.
Okay, so you would take nine. So if you have a horse that ran off, this one uses a. The second call, in this case, the second call is the outer one. So if you had a horse that ran, I see. Okay, so your first call is the inner. Well, how to screw this up? But. Let's look over on page 20. That one makes more sense. I'm not nice to use these things. I'm not very good with graphs. I'm not one of the people that graphs speak to. I look at the numbers more than graphs. Other people love the graphs, which is, of course, why he chose me to explain this to you. Yesterday it was absolutely cold. I hadn't seen these graphs in a month, and I looked at them then for 20 minutes a month ago. I said, now they will stand up and do the graphs for you. It stood up and made an absolute fool of himself. Because I didn't remember. Last night I went back to the hotel room and reviewed this, but I obviously didn't review it. But basically, if the horse had run a, let's say a 43 on this one, and then was beaten two lengths, you'd be taking down two, down to 43 and three, and then one, two, three more. This one was off, must have been beaten a little less. But you just count it right off. And you could actually handicap doing this. It would really show you the matchup of the race using this beaten length code. And you can go through and try out some of these and see if they make sense to you. I kind of like the idea of using it raw, as it were, with the without the beaten length code, just sort of putting in the time using a fifth of a second for each beaten length, and putting in the raw times. If you want to try Howard's code and see if it works for you, great, go for it.
Is that code good for Prince Andrews?
Prince Andrews Pro. Now you got to remember that the fractions are different. They're going to be in different spots and different distances. But yes, Prince or not. Yes.
People don't recognize patterns using the code is pretty awkward.
Yeah, using the code is very good. Again, I would recommend, make one line red and one line green, and that'll separate the horses for you. And put a lot of horses on here. Don't be afraid of that. Put the 8 or 9 on there. Take a look at it. See why the horses that you think are throwaways really are throwaways. See if the winner that snuck up on you doesn't have something going for it that you just didn't see. You'll really see that spike of the big second fraction kind of thing that may speak into you. Yes?
Do go back to that code here.
I certainly can.
The 0 to F1 is 1/5, and then it was 3/5, and then it was 2/5, and then we decided that it isn't, it was units. Are these units then? Like 0 to the first fraction?
One thing on the chart. That's why the chart
is. The chart is whatever you choose to make it. There's no increments on that chart. Now, the way it's filled out normally, because you can chart first and second, first, second, and third, you can chart anything you want on that chart. So, on the chart you're looking at, which is on page...
They've all got increments. 20, on page 20.
On page 20, that chart is... this is the inner circle, is the second call. The outer circle is the third fraction.
Yeah.
And then the little... cross thing, where it says 22, would be your first fraction.
Where are you starting from? 0.
Yeah.
You're starting at 0. The next arc out is the first fraction.
All right. Well, in this case, you're starting with 22. You don't have a 0.
No, so it's just the first fraction. There's a beaten length, and you project it over to how many lengths he was behind. Okay, let's go back to the code. So we're in F2, right? So the second fraction. Okay, between the first fraction and the second fraction, a length equals 3 now.
Correct.
Okay, so take it from there and move it 3 from what?
Oh, what did he run?
Not only that, it looks like
2.4. I don't even know what horse this is.
It must be Anna Connor. It is Anna Connor.
Look and see what Anna Connor runs. Ran a 44-4, beating 2.5.
2.5 units up. 2.5 times 3 is what?
So I see it.
Well, 7.5, right? Yeah, it's pretty good. That's what we're going to talk about. So if you're going to talk about, she gets beat.
What increments are you using? I thought you were using the you're using
it's the fifth. You know, 24 over there. Right here, 2.5 to 44 holes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's show them. Let's shoot this. Okay, here's one. Here's the big base here as well. There's a meter. Let's shoot 2.5 back. Right? Let's shoot 1,000.
Here's the base. Here's the base.
Here's the base.
This chart is not using that code. That's the thing. Okay, this chart is just raw.
Okay, well, where's 44?
I don't think so. As I said, the code is one that Howard came up with. And try it if you like it. This is the Anaconda raw and the pace of the race that Anaconda ran against. And if you'll notice, Anaconda was beaten 2.5 and came on to win. And so you're going to see it was beaten 3 or 4 lengths. I guess it would be 4 lengths at the first call. And you'll notice it's 1, 2, 3.5. 3.5 and it should be 2.5.
It's 3.5 according to what I'm looking at.
Yeah, well,
the pace of the race is 43.2, right?
Pace of the race was 44-4.
44-4. Depends which race we're
and it was beaten 2.5 lengths.
Well, this is a 6-furlong turf race. Okay, we'll continue to do it.
It's the, the second, it should be the...
In this case,
Sorry. Okay. He has the second one marked. He's done the same. So it is 3.5. You're right, 44-2 is your...
pace of the race, right?
It's your pace of the race. And you take off 3.5, 1, 2, 3.5, to get back to the pace of the horse.
3 times 3.5 is 10.5.
So if you were using the code, you would have marked him down, let's see.
Minus 10.5.
Is it -10.5 or 0? Because there wasn't any change in beaten lengths. There wasn't any change in beaten lengths at the second call, was there?
Between the first fraction and the second fraction, he lost 3.5 lengths.
If you were using the code, he'd look something like the red line.
He lost 3.5 lengths to the pace of the race, which gives him a penalty of 10.5.
And then he lost 0.
Are we looking at the 6-furlong race?
Something like the red
line. No, he was behind 3.5 at the first fraction also.
I've got him behind 3.5 at the first fraction.
Now, if
that gives you a minus 3.5 because it only is worth 1 point when you're for length you're
behind. All right, he's behind the same 3.5 at the second fraction.
The code changes.
But to who?
Code changes from 1 to 3.
To who?
Okay, so you multiply it out. It's not the change between fractions. It's
like
whatever it is.
Right. He just lost 3.5. He could have lost 3.5 to somebody else and he could have passed him. He's still losing 3.5. You know who went by him in the second call?
If you're sitting there saying, what's going on? Don't worry about it. We provide an awful lot of tools for you, and no one in the whole world uses them all. It would take you hours to handicap one race if you did. You can't use all the charts, all the graphs, all the programs. So put the pie generator plus the matchup, your handicapping program, make this kind of graph, all of it. What you need to do is, I took one look at this graph and said, hey, that's pretty neat. I took one of this graph and I said, hey, I don't like it. So other people prefer this one. Some of you are going to take a look at this sucker, particularly when we get it all dressed up, and say, wow, that's really neat. Others of you are going to say, I don't understand what that's for. Why don't you just look at the numbers and tell you it's right there? I'm more of a number man myself. But for those of you that this speaks to, and it speaks more to me than this kind of graph, it is. It's just another tool in your arsenal.
and it can be very valuable. If you take the time to learn how to use it and try 100 races with it, you will learn a hell of a lot.
And that's why it's done in several ways. Create your own pace race, one you accept, and plot it beneath that line. It doesn't have to be the pace of race around it, it can be any pace.
I was just trying to understand the instructions.
Okay, the instructions are, it says that you see, that's the most important thing is this code, is that the value of a length
right,
beaten or gained.
Up here it says F1 minus F2. Now that isn't second call, that's a fraction.
It doesn't say F1 minus F2.
Well,
F1
minus F2.
Right, but that's the second fraction. Is that what it's saying, is the second fraction?
Yeah, what did he lose or gain in the second fraction?
Now, and you would add
3.5 length, which is 10.5. Is
and you would add less gain.
Yeah, gain. You want to see a gain, or you want to see a plus.
So in that case, then this horse would also have gained. So he should be 7 up from this. So really, the chart on this horse should be kind of weird looking. But it's a hell of a nice looking chart. It should be this, and almost straight up. And that horse paid a ton of money, so we...
How you do it is curious. What you're looking for...
Okay, you're looking at an $86 horse with a straight up line. Now, and please tell me, when you look at this graph, doesn't the horse that does this tell you something? Doesn't that say, listen, this horse isn't so bad.
Let me out of jail.
This horse isn't so bad. This horse belongs in my machine. This horse is a contender. I could have been a contender. This horse is a contender. And here it is, a contender. That's all that we're trying to do is get you to look at 9 horses. I don't know how many of you handicapped that race, but how many of you had that $86 horse? And here it is, trying to be stuck in. Trying. With a line that goes back. Over battle. We'll never see a better one.
The mistake here is right here. Which is 43, that should read 44. Right here.
Doc?
Yeah.
If there's no change, if there's no gain or loss, then his second call is the same as the wrong one.
Right,
so what you're doing, you're saying there's no change, so it's 310.0 or 0, so it's 45.1. He didn't gain or lose anything
from
the first call.
Yes, he did lose. He lost the same 3.5 lengths. If he didn't lose, his speed for the second call has to be equal for the first quarter, has to be equal. So he lost.
Says if you've got a gain or a loss between the first fraction and the second fraction,
he didn't lose anything by every fraction.
There was no gain.
How do you know that somebody else didn't pass him on acceleration? See if he got. Did he run slower? Did he run slower in the second quarter, yes or no?
That's
he didn't decelerate? He was going 22 to 44? Three, come on, he lost
in
service.
He decelerated a foot, not relative to the pace of the race.
But he could have decelerated, but nevertheless, he was losing energy in the second call. That means he didn't gain anything. So if you don't gain, you lose. If you don't gain, you lose.
He didn't gain. Just do it the way he's saying. You put where he was, how far he was behind. It's not like your computer program does it the other way. Why do you need two things to do it the same way?
Okay.
This gives him a penalty for not
gaining.
For not gaining.
He showed no improvement.
The mistake that I made is that because the pace of the race was 44.2 and 2, I put a 43 up here. Instead of 44. Just change that 43 to a 44, now you've got the two things.
Yeah.
Now, okay. I made a mistake.
Well, the first time for everything.
No, I knew that. All the time, at least twice in every minute.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I knew something screwy there.
You're still at 44.4.
This should be a 45, that should be a 46.
Hey, dude.
So, I don't know. Ask Howard,
he wrote
it. I don't like this chart. I like this chart. I love this chart. come off the stage. I don't know.
Okay, well, where's the problem? Everybody, tell me the problem.
All of your time. By changing that 44, you got to move 45 here and change the 45 to 46. Your 43 was right.
This is the scale for the second one. For the seventh hole.
See, this should become 45, then, shouldn't it?
This middle number, which is non-existent, would be 45.
45, then this 45 becomes 46.
Right.
And the 46 becomes...
43.
Right. But at any rate, since you never get to the 46, it doesn't matter.
Well, sure you do. That's what it charts out for using your code.
Well, let's just say that I got so excited by seeing the winner tonight. The mistakes on this chart are resulted from the emotional excitement of finding an $86 winner.
Everyone knows how I never read the door. If you'll take the chart on page 12, take a horse that's nibbling. If it's a sprint, fill in, F2 would be about 45, F3 would be, say, a 25 for a 6 furlong, a 30 maybe, or 31 for a 6.5 furlong, looking at the sprint of 35. A few horses. If it seems to just be a mishmash to you, try a different scale. Try it out.